Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Be future ready with a pension powered by Zurich's award-winning investment performance.
Now, results of a review into the cervical check screening programme will be communicated to affected women from this coming Monday. The review conducted by the Royal College of Obstetricians and Gynaecologists in London is investigating whether errors were made in the screening process. I'm joined now by Lorraine Walsh from the 221 Plus Cervical Check Patient Support Group. Lorraine, good evening.
Good evening, Mary. How are you?
It's a long-awaited review. Women have been waiting for these results since this controversy started to come to light. Will you just remind us what the College of Obstetricians and Gynaecologists was tasked to do?
Yes. So last year, obviously, the women that had cervical cancer between 2008 and 2018 that were diagnosed through the Cervical Check Programme, their smears prior to their diagnosis had been audited to see could they have been diagnosed at an earlier stage. However, there were other women in Ireland that were diagnosed with cervical cancer through other means, that means outside of cervical check, and their screening prior to their diagnosis wasn't audited. So as part of the Royal College of Gynaecologists task last year, they were tasked to be the independent assessor to look at the women as part of the 221 group to audit theirs again, but also to offer the women that hadn't an audit on their smears previously. So all of these are women that have had cervical cancer, and these are their slides prior to their diagnosis being audited. So it will give those women an opportunity to find out, you know, could their cancer have been picked up at an earlier stage. So it's a sensitive subject. You know, it's something that women, all of these women, signed up to last August. So yeah, it's a long-awaited report. There's over 1,000 women involved in it. And it's going to take some time for that whole process to actually happen. Mm. Because each of these women, myself and Stephen Teep as part of the 221 Plus Support Group have been working with the HSE on this and ensured that each woman or family member next of kin would be offered a meeting with a clinician, so they can discuss results regardless of what the results are. But it will give them an opportunity to sit down and talk about screening prior to their diagnosis and if that would have made a difference if it had been picked up at an earlier stage.
And in Fergal Bauer's report that I've been reading, I mean, you're setting out clearly how the information will be communicated from the Royal College to the women concerned. And I'll talk a little bit more about that with you in a moment. Mm. But I want to talk about the access that they have had from the HSE and from the screening companies to all the slides and all the information. Have they had full and open access?
Yes, they have. I suppose what had happened when the consent process was given last year, you consented for your slides to be transferred over to the Royal College of Gynaecologists. My understanding of that is that those slides started to move from the beginning of last February to the Royal College of Gynaecologists and Obstetricians, and they have been assessing the slides and putting these reports together for each, so it's an individual report for each woman that will hopefully tell them if they had screening prior to their diagnosis, could it have been read differently and what that would have impacted on their treatment or their clinical status at this point now.
Lorraine, I'm just recalling from memory, but am I correct in saying that not all women gave consent?
That is correct. So I believe it was about 1,850 women that were offered the chance to participate in this. And out of that, there's just over 1,000 women that gave consent and participated in it.
Why was that?
And of those, there was a very small amount of those that were the 221 group. I believe around 60 women from the 221 group that consented.
Okay.
I think there's various reasons for it, Mary. Some women just want to close the door on cancer. Is such a... You know, it's such a harsh process, both physically and mentally. And some women, when they get out of it and they're well again, they just want to close the door on that part of their lives and maybe not bring it up again. Mm. And I suppose this is potentially going to tell people whether, you know, there was, you know, a misread of their slides.
Indeed, could it actually pinpoint negligence?
No, it won't actually pinpoint negligence. But it will, for example, say potentially that, you know, had it been read differently prior to your diagnosis, that maybe you could have been, your cancer could have been picked up at an earlier stage and you may have avoided some or all of the treatment that you had, but it's not going to mention or allude to anything in relation to negligence whatsoever.
So starting on Monday, there will be communication with the women, a package of advance information arriving with the women involved this week. That's happening this week, outlining these options as to how they want to receive the information.
Yeah, and again, I think this, for me, it was really important that they weren't just telling the women what was going to happen. There's a range of options in this because I think, you know, you put five women up there and they're all going to choose different things. One woman might like to be told face-to-face. Another woman might like to be told and get a letter in the post. Someone else might like it in a different way. So it's about empowering the women to let them decide what the most suitable means for them to receive this information. And depending on what the information is, you know, it's all very fine saying, well, I don't mind getting a letter in the post if there's no bad news in it. But there's very few people that would like or want to receive bad news in the post, you know, on your doormat in the morning. It's not something pleasant. So it's very complex. So to avoid that and yet to give women the option, to be fair, that the HSE have offered a wide range of options. So for the women in the ORCOG group that have consented to this, they are to get packs this week, which will outline what those options are. And there is a helpline that they can contact so that they can identify which option is most suitable for them.
All right.
And it's their choice how they are going to
receive it. The inquiry by the Royal College of Obstetricians is independent of the HSE. They've had support from the HSE, obviously, in gathering the information and so on, but it is independent. But is it your wish and desire of all the women that what comes through this report is published, is publicly made available?
Yes, there will be a report made at the end of the process. So what they have decided to do is they are triaging the women involved in this. So obviously the women that have discordance will be met first. The women or next of kin, in the case of women that have passed away, their next of kin will be met at the beginning as soon as possible. And then the women from the 221 group as well, they will be triaged as well. And then the last women to be met will be the women that have concordant results. So bearing that in mind, you know, there is an option there that if you have concordant results, that you can get them in the post, that you don't have to wait to the end of the process. But this process is going to take time because these meetings are difficult in some cases. They can be long and they need to give the women and families the time to ask the questions and absorb the information. And in some cases, this information will be, you know, very upsetting for the people involved. So We need to let that process pan out over the next few weeks.
And the process probably getting underway next week. All right. Thank you very much for joining us. That's Lorraine Walsh from the 221 Cervical Check Patient Support Group.